Okay, good morning everybody. We have a very unusual setting for our meeting this morning. I'm slightly worried about the screen. I'm going to feel seasick later, I think, just going in and out. Firstly, welcome everybody. Good to see you all. And so pleased you've made it this far. Welcome. We have an agenda for the workshop this morning on our council list. We've slightly amended the order of business so that the people attending one of the technical workshops can join us later on. So what we're going to do this morning is firstly start on the review and update of council roles and responsibilities. And you'll need to wave at me if you can't hear me. We're then going to move on to a brief discussion around the chair and vice chair election. On the last council call, there was a question raised about the terms, how long people stand for those roles. And then the final item of business is a review and update of our CCNSO work plan. Now, this was actually billed as a closed meeting, but unless anyone has any objections, we're proposing that people will come in and out, and that's probably okay. Is that okay with councillors? I don't see anything particularly sensitive on our agenda. Okay, thank you. So shall we begin then with the review and update of the council role and responsibilities? Those of you with good memories will remember that this began way back when we were in Nairobi, when Chris was talking about standing down from the chair role, and we were beginning to think about how on earth we would find another Chris. And also, I think we began, or certainly from my perspective, I began to understand the work that Chris was doing and the extent of that work. So as a council, we had a workshop in Nairobi, and we started to list all of the things that your then chair was doing and think about how we might do that differently in future, particularly with the idea of making the chair role less demanding, because there was a very short list of zero of people who could devote the same amount of time that Chris was doing for us. So, of course, in terms of succession planning and having a good choice of people to stand as chair, we were a bit worried about that situation. So that discussion then continued afterwards in Cartagena and San Francisco, where we arrived at the document that Bart will share with us shortly, where we listed out the activities and tried to allocate them to chairs, to vice chairs, to council members, or indeed things that didn't need to be done by the council. And what we said then was that we would review it after a period of time has elapsed, and we are now at that review stage. So Bart, perhaps you'd like to talk us through the current version. You should have had two pages circulated on the list that Bart will be referring to now. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. What I'll do is go over the spreadsheet that was developed, and this one is an update with some suggestions already for some roles and responsibilities of the tasks. The names in there are still the same as from the San Francisco meeting, so that will be the second part when we start to assign these roles and responsibilities to individual council members. So I think that is the way I want to do it. So the first step I want to go through is we identified in San Francisco, or the council identified in San Francisco, in fact, two main cluster of activities for the council. So that means chair, vice chairs, and councillors. One was what was called the relational activities, And the second main cluster was the administration of the CCNSO, the administrative role of the council. I want to start with what we identified as relational activities, and I just want to check with you whether, say, what we identified at the time, whether that's still relevant, and what needs to be added or what needs to be changed. So relational activities, that is the first cluster. We identified two main categories, in fact. That was representation and engagement. So my first question to you is, it's almost a close question, but are these two main areas still relevant, or should we change them or get rid of them all at once? Because representation at the time was more the formal liaison, and engagement is more reaching out and to the different communities. So that's the first one. I don't see, and if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask them. I don't see any questions, and I think these two are still relevant, so we continue on that basis. Now, then.
So I just had a question on informal liaison, because it's not necessarily easy to separate a conversation into, this is me formally liaising with you, and this is me informally liaising with you. And also, when we looked at the allocation of informal liaison, all I can see is crosses in the chair role. And I know that many of us liaise as vice chairs or liaise as council members. So I would question whether that actually is purely a chair role. I think certainly some council members are very active with informal liaison across the community, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think it should be purely the role of the chair.
May I get back, say, what I've showed now is the description of, say, the formal and informal liaison. If you look at the formal liaison role, it is clearly defined in Article 9 of the bylaws, in which cases the chair of the CCNSO needs to act, say, on informing the board and other SOs and ACs.
We're having a conversation by microphone and we're sat next to each other.
Yep.
So I'm purely talking about informal liaison. This bit. Good morning, Vika. We're just starting on looking at council roles and responsibilities. We've rejigged the agenda slightly to allow for some council members to join us later on.
If you can see now, clarify position, that was the description used at the time. And if you look at, and that's more the assignment, I hope. It is in San Francisco, it was purely assigned to the chair. And if I understand you correctly, you want to broaden that to, say, and the chair and the individual councillors.
That's my suggestion, because I think the reality is that council members and vice chairs should and can carry on informal liaison. Can I have any views on that one, please?
I agree.
I would second that agreement as somebody who informally liaises from time to time myself.
I'll just add it for the full council as well. And
So the second part of that, if we can get over formal liaison and informal liaison and move down the page, There's a block of activity around relationships with the regional organisations. We have Peter and we have Vika here. Be interested to hear your perspective as to how that's best working or not.
Thanks, Leslie. What I found most useful in I think it's important to understand it's a bidirectional thing. So it's information from CCNSO to my members, and I can only speak for Center, obviously, but I feel that this is working well, both by providing them reports from what's happening at the meeting, as giving them in-person updates during our general assemblies. Quite often we have the luxury of having you or somebody else from the CCNSO Council present and being able to interact with the members. So that's working well. From the members to the CCNSO, those that are participating obviously have no need for the regional organization to liaise between them and the CCNSO. And then there are still a group of other members that are quite happy to be a passive user of everything that comes from the CCNSO without having actually anything to contribute. So I still haven't found the answer after 5 years on how to encourage those to step in and use the regional organizations as their stepping stone to CCNSO. Maybe some of the other organizations have.
Thank you, Peter. Vika, do you have any thoughts? Is it something we need to strengthen, or is it working well?
I would say it's working well. Yeah, I pretty much share the view that Peter has just shared. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Let's not break something that's working well. Keith.
I would agree that it's working well with those CCTLDs that we know and have relationships with in some loose form, but there are a lot of CCTLDs who are totally unengaged. I mean, I think in terms of our membership, we've just clicked over half of the total number of possible CCTLDs. But as we go further down the list, it's getting harder and harder to know who those CCTLD managers are and so on. And while ICANN has a relationship through the regional representatives like Sade and Bahir and in the Asia-Pacific region and so on, that, you know, there's a need for CCNSO itself to be better engaged, and I'm not sure how we accomplish that, and I don't think we accomplish that particularly well through the regional organisation or through informal liaison. I think it actually needs a dedicated resource within CCNSO.
Thank you. I think that's a very relevant thought to hold for the discussion later on about the work plan, because that's when we start, I suspect, to think about capacity to work and the number of people who are participating, who are engaged in particularly the working groups, but the work of the CCNSO more generally. You know, we could have had this in my hotel room. It would have been a lot quieter. So can you hang on to that one for the roles and responsibilities? Because I think there is something, particularly as the number of CC members has increased, where we need to think about how people can get involved, maybe initially just doing some small tasks that helps you get involved in work, and then eventually maybe you move on to a working group or joining the council. So particularly where we've got new people joining, how do we get them engaged and how do we get them helping with that work, I think would be a very interesting thing to explore further.
Moving ahead, say we now are into these different roles and responsibilities that have been identified. Say we have the formal liaisons, and you kicked off that discussion. This is still the list. Nothing changed here. I think all these, say from my perspective or from a staff perspective, all these roles are still relevant. So there is no need to change them. It's more who's going to do it and whether, say, as we just discussed, whether it's just the chair or other councillors as well or the council as a whole who needs to do it. So this is with regard to the relational activities. I want to turn to the admin, and then we go back to identify the individuals and assign roles.
Okay, thank you, Bart. So before we move to the second page, though, let's just check in. Are people comfortable with page one, which is talking around the chair roles and where vice chairs can support? Certainly, if I remember rightly, when we had these conversations, we didn't put a lot down to the vice chairs because we're starting to think about how that would work. In reality, you know, I found the vice chairs to be fantastic, and they have very much helped make the chair role more sustainable. So I actually attended a meeting of the SONAC chairs on Friday, and we had a around the table discussion around the time demands of being a chair, and I was quite pleased that mine was much lower in comparison to other chairs who were saying that their load was being unsustainable because, like all of us, they had a day job as well as their chair role. So actually they were quite envious and are seeking to move to the CCNSO where it might be somewhat easier to be a chair now.
Okay.
Any comments from anyone on that first page then? Are we all comfortable?
I'll now go to the second page that's on the administration of the CCNSO. And again, there are two main clusters, management and oversight, and the second one was coordination. So, and they are described, so, and you got it in front of you. Again, the first question is, are these two different clusters still relevant or should we change them? So that's the first question. And the second question is, without going into, there are currently some roles have been listed, and in this slide and paper you see a new role which we probably need to discuss, that's monitoring and shepherding requests for input from the board and ICANN staff and maybe from other SOs and ACs. So that's a new one. So that's on line 19. So probably that's a separate discussion after we've concluded the current roles and responsibilities. So I don't want to go into it. Just are there some questions regarding the current roles and responsibilities that are listed here? I will start up. So that's the first cluster. No? I'll scroll down to the second one. Again, this is the coordination role. And there is a new one added. We have already assigned Rudolf and Johanny to coordinate the CCNSO and GNSO lunches meeting, so that's more, that's easier. Again, that's one of those tasks Leslie was referring to that has evolved into a separate role.
So the only question that I'm aware of that's come up, I'm not sure which one of these it hits, but is what we do when people go on holiday, because we are allowed holiday, apparently, or when people are unwell and unable to deliver for understandable reasons. Are there any things on this list where we have, where we need better cover, I think is the question. So I know the issue around approving new CCNSO members was one that came up in discussion on a council call a while ago. Are there any others?
Say, from my perspective, there isn't, because, in fact, that's the only real continuity role or role with where we need constant somebody who is available from the council to push it through. So that's approving the new memberships. So we run into it a couple of times for whatever reason that Rula wasn't available. He was on holidays, so it had to wait, which in itself is not bad, but it is not a very good sign for the new applicant. Maybe, Gab, are you aware of any of these other roles that needs backup or anything? No? Okay, so that's one role where we need additional volunteer from the council to assist.
Okay, thank you. So can I get people doing some thinking as to whether you might wish to volunteer for that role at some stage during this week, and we'll come to a conclusion on that council meeting? Yeah? Okay. So if maybe you haven't been able to pick up a task just yet and might fancy doing a holiday cover for Rollo, he doesn't have that many holidays, so it shouldn't be too bad. That would be appreciated.
Can I ask a quick question on what's involved in that process? I mean, does he get, I know he gets emails from IANA, et cetera.
It's almost nothing involved. It's very easy because I get the application and I'm checking that everything is correct. And I say everything is correct and I send it to IANA, and once I get the reply, I forward it to you and you forward it to the council. So it's really just one email involved that you need to forward.
And I think also there's a couple of things you have to make sure that the organization matches the...
Yeah, I'm doing that.
Oh, you're doing that. Oh, okay.
So it's quite a good one to volunteer for because there's not a great deal of work involved. Although, of course, we have, in over the years I've been involved, had one or two that have been...
Yeah.
We have to have a council discussion. But we'll try to schedule those for when Roloff's not on holiday, perhaps.
Okay, and then the new role that was... identified, maybe, Leslie, you want to talk to it, the monitoring and shepherding the requests.
Okay. So this one links quite closely, actually, to the work plan discussion. So as a CCNSO, we seem to be getting to grips with our work plan and understanding all of the various working groups we've got going on and how long that work will be running for, etc., and planning that and thinking about whether we have the capacity to do the work, and we can go on to that discussion in a minute. But the issue is that there are external requests for work that then come in effect. So they may come in the shape of a board resolution asking for CCNSO work or CCNSO input, or they may come in as a request from one of the other SOs for CC representation or CC membership of a cross-community working group. And at the moment, we've not got anyone really in charge of spotting those, seeing where they're coming and starting a discussion about whether they can fit in the work plan, etc. I think that was the issue about.
And one of the things what you see is, say, there is what is called an SOAC list. A lot of people, or say other SOs and ACs, ICANN staff and the board, use that list for that purpose, while it was set up for a whole other purposes. So what will happen, what really happens is sometimes we pick it up and sometimes we don't. So as a result, we sometimes very late in providing a response. So that needs to be more structurally embedded in the CCNSO itself.
Does that issue make sense to people?
Does a list exist that can be monitored?
Yeah, it's currently an SOAC chair discussion list, and I think there needs to be a separate list where people identify new work so it doesn't get lost in the noise, as it were.
Okay.
I think the proposal is that there be a list. The question is whether that's a chair, vice chair, or council member role, to pick that up and run with it would be good.
That's one, and probably it's also monitoring the board resolutions, whether there is something, but we just need to do it. It's been done on an ad hoc basis, unfortunately.
Okay. Becky, does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Is there general support for that being something else that we add to our ever-growing list? Okay. So you're waiting for the next bit, I know. So we will also be asking for a volunteer to pick up this new task, or maybe two. Yeah. Okay. So have some thoughts about, if you're not currently involved, whether that's something that you could pick up. It's obviously monitoring of email thing rather than attending meetings and calls and so on, which may be easier to fit for some people.
And one of the issues there is as well, so both Gabi, Christina and I are on some of these lists as well, so we can easily assist whoever is on the council member, but we need a counterpart on the council to do it and not just Leslie.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on then, Bart.
Yeah. So I think that covers the list of roles and responsibilities. The next item for this one is, I don't know whether you want to do it right now or do you want to consider it the current assignments? Let's go. Unfortunately, this is too big. Maybe I can reduce it. That's easy. Hopefully, can you still read it? It's too small.
So Rod Offer sent his apologies this morning. He is here in Costa Rica, but he's here in his hotel room. He's not very well. So we can give him lots of tasks.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully this will work. Say the green stops as soon as far as you can recognize it, if it's green. These were the tasks assigned to the chair of the CCNSO. So I think chair council meetings is very obvious. It's a chair role. Formal liaison with staff on council meeting agendas and logistics. Again, that's a chair role. Maybe we add the vice chairs as well for this one,
yeah.
Because that's
what's been happening in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that works. Maybe. Yeah, it's there. So the next one is formal liaison with staff on mini meeting minutes. Again, maybe that's something with the vice chairs as well, but it's not really very much, is it? Okay, then we have managing formal approval of new membership. That was good off, and for this one, would be nice if there is a volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You made the mistake of asking a question around the role. Thank you, Fernando, that would be great.
Okay, sorry. I'm not very good at this. Liaison with staff from general management issues. In fact, again, this was a task assigned to Rulof. We never used effectively. We never used it. Maybe we could even strike this one.
I don't think we recognize what a formal general management issue is. I don't know.
So maybe
that goes. Yeah. I mean, from my experience, that goes.
Yeah. So I just leave it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
management of CCNO framework roles of responsibilities. That was again chair, I believe.
Yeah,
which makes sense. Oversight CCNO work plan, again, that was chair, and I think maybe together with vice chair.
Byron, do you have any? You'll see the vice chair list is currently growing, but that's in effect what you and Hero have been doing with me on our calls so far. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Former oversight of CCPDPs. Again, this was assigned to Hero. In fact, we never use this role, and I think it's more a general counsel role than anything else. So maybe that's the way to just put it as a counsel. It's just a suggestion.
Hero, your thought?
About that, maybe I owe Barton's secretariat to do this job. That was not formal.
So it's more a council role.
A council role. Okay, thank you. Ever had others who've joined us for the work plan item? Because we thought your meeting was going to take a while, we reordered the agenda. So apologies if we're making you sit through a CCNSO council doing things.
Thank you very much. Because we thought you wouldn't be able to do it, we did the meeting more efficiently.
Ah, excellent. Okay. We need to finish this one, obviously, but then maybe we can move to the work plan shortly afterwards. Thank you for your patience.
The second one was formal oversight of management of working groups. Looking at it, probably it is almost similar to the CCNO's old work plan, so this one can go. This one, these two roles can be deleted. That's always nice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Again, formal oversight, board selection and council election process. That was Rulof and the other one as well. So it's more that we have a contact from staff to submit it, we can leave it. Former management of position papers, drafting and adoption, that was Becky. I know Becky has been involved in all the CCNO statement and position paper drafting. So it's a question, more or less, do you need any support from other councillors and do you want to continue doing it?
I think that should be chief scribe sort of role.
I'm getting lots of help from many people, and so I feel like it's working pretty well. I asked the question about the list only because I think I sometimes feel a little behind the curve on what the issues are, and some of that, I know I can fix one thing about that, but from my perspective, what I would like to be able to do is sort of have a sense of these things a little bit better, and Bart and I are working on doing that.
Excellent.
But I'm getting lots of help from all over.
So you're happy to carry on? Brilliant. Thank you.
We go back to formal drafting papers. Again, the oversight management, maybe this is the chair role, maybe add vice chairs.
Yeah. So this is the addition of making sure our processes work.
Yeah.
Whilst you're fiddling with your spreadsheet,
the
next item was this
new role.
Monitoring of the requests that are coming from other SOs or from the ICANN boards. Would anyone be interested, able in volunteering for that one? Or two people? This is where you all look down. Keith? Is that a vague interest?
No, I'm not wishing to volunteer at all. I think this is actually needs a bit more discussion, I feel. It's kind of such a big issue. I guess, firstly, it's a question of appreciating how much staff support goes into the bringing together the thread before it appears in front of the council. If you're asking for volunteers to pour through every set of ICANN board resolutions, etc.
No.
So I think, firstly, there's a question.
Let me alleviate your concern. So it's not the monitoring every resolution in order to spot something that affects us. In reality, the staff are very good at doing that. It's really as a council member liaising with staff and ensuring it's discussed at the council to get on our work plan, etc., etc. So I think it's the, you know, where is it uncomfortable for staff really to be saying to the council that should be on our agenda. That's my understanding.
So it's becoming a champion of the cause on behalf of the staff. It's requiring a councillor to become a champion of the cause of issues that staff are bringing up. So on the basis of Fernando's earlier question leading to his volunteering, I guess since I asked the question, I'll volunteer as well.
We're starting a trend here, so nobody wants to ask questions from now on. That's the trouble.
One more question.
Okay. Could I ask if somebody's willing to help Keith with that task, then? Somebody who maybe hasn't picked up anything so far and maybe would be interested in taking on some work? Excellent. Vika. Thank you, Vika. We have a thing in my household that if I get a job, everybody gets a job. I did warn you of this when you appointed me. It's the only way we can work. Okay, Bart.
Let me go into the coordination roles. This one was, say, the coordination role, CCDZO, GNSO lunches, that is Rudolf and Johanny, mm-hmm. So I'll insert their names here as well. Assuming they still may want to do it.
Thank you, Johanny. I know that's not working quite as well as we want it to just yet, but we have a coming plan. Excellent.
And so with the informal coordination with the other SOs, so this is more about work plans, etc. Maybe it's still a chair's role. I wonder whether you should remain in vice chairs. Maybe that's the way it works right now. So add the vice chairs to this as well as a suggestion.
So what happens at the moment is the chair and the vice chairs have a regular call, both to make sure we've captured everything on the CCNSO Council agendas for our meeting, but also generally to catch up. So in my experience, that's where we can pick up that kind of stuff. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll add the vice. So that's this list. Now we need to go back to the relational activities. Again, this is the formal liaison and formal liaison. That's all, say, ICANN bylaws define, so
yeah,
that cannot change. There is this one, preparation of CCNSO report. This is more the meetings highlight report, and currently we have Patricio there. But as you'll be leaving the council, we need another volunteer.
Okay.
Any suggestions?
So, Patricio, in your experience, how onerous is that, and what skills do you need for that?
Well, Bart does all of the job. I just have to check and see if anything's missing or if I have any suggestions to change, but it's not really a lot of work.
Okay. I know Hong's not been able to join us yet. She didn't speak. I know she was keen to take on something, some work. Maybe that's something she might be able to get engaged with.
I'll add her name with a question mark.
Okay.
And again, for clarification, this is more a three-way conversation between the chair, the assigned councillor, and me, in order to prepare for the public. Say for the SONAC chairs update.
Public reading of the report.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll add Hong with a question mark. And I think, oh, that's the wrong one. Okay. I think I'm going to delete this one. You know, got the informal, say, speaking engagement. Again, that's the full council, informal liaison board, and board members. Again, maybe that's council as well.
Yeah.
All council members, yes. That's already discussed. GAC members, again, say, informal liaison, that's council members as well.
Yeah.
And the last one on this list, and then we're done. Scroll down. Informal liaison, EXO chairs, GAC chairs. Maybe this one is more, at this stage, just for the chair.
Informal liaison is fine for everyone, but...
So this is for all councillors?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that is the whole list.
Okay.
One exception, sorry. It is a maintain relation with regional organizations and contact with members. Again, these are the, currently we have Keith Yohani,
Rolando Vika.
Yeah, Rolando and... and Pika. So the question is whether they still want to continue in that role, yes or no, and if there are other volunteers.
Okay. You can liaise with yourself, Keith, as chair.
Or not. My name probably appeared there because I was chair of ABTLD. I no longer am. But I'm wondering whether it was probably not more appropriate for the RO liaison folks like Jian to undertake those roles.
Yeah. Thoughts, anyone?
I think Keith raised a good point there because that list was apparently, if I remember correctly, drafted because those people were also involved in the boards of directors of the relevant regional organization.
Yeah, yeah.
And so since then, things have changed as well for Center, so Johan is no longer in our board.
Yeah.
So it might make sense to change that to the general managers of the regional organizations. I would be very happy to. I mean, Johan, you're very welcome to keep on doing the updates, but since you're no longer in the board, it probably doesn't make too much sense.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the general manager.
I would be very happy with that. Yeah. Because otherwise that needs to change each time your council changes, in effect. Yeah. But of course, everybody could informally liaise.
Yeah.
It's a new verb we can use when we're in the bar. We are informally liaising. Sorry? Yeah. Okay. well, that's a, all of the, sorry, we're having a side discussion here. The final one is maintain contact with members and other CCTLDs. I think surely that has to be everybody involved with that. But we were highlighting earlier that maybe there's a discussion to be had around how we engage people in the work. So maintaining contact is a bit different from bringing people in and getting them engaged and getting them to be involved in the work of the CCTLD. So they feel different things to me.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Okay. Right, okay. So we're done on that list?
It was Keith, Johanny, Vika, and I forgot the last one.
Rolando. Well, obviously, very happy for you to continue in those roles, but that could be broader across the whole council.
That's something to revisit on Wednesday.
Okay. Are we done? Okay, so the process going forward for final sign-off then is to put this on the council agenda for this week. It's already on the agenda for this week.
And secondly, I think that's very important as well, that on the update to the membership and the CCTLD is present, that we share this, and then it goes to the council agenda.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. So thank you very much for that, everybody. We're going to have a 5-minute, let's make that 10 minutes because it's away to the bathroom, a 10-minute comfort bathroom stop, and then we'll come back and start on the work plan for everybody, please. Thank you. Can I just remind people that if you're leaving stuff in this room, to leave it with somebody, to not leave bags and so on unattended. Thank you. So, of course, restarting, assume that my secretariat will be back in order for us to restart. Failing miserably already. He is. He's doing a sheepdog thing, trying to round up people. Yes, he is coming back. Right. Okay, well, we'll let you put that one into the conversation in a minute then, Dottie. So, you'll all be delighted to know that the CCNSO meeting is not in this tent. But if you really like it, I'm sure we could ask and swap with whoever is unfortunate enough to be in the tent. I knew if I waffled long enough, you'd come back.
Sorry?
I knew if I waffled long enough, you'd come back.
I've just heard of it.
Thank you.
You use the Dutch expression, it's like keeping frogs in the
head. Bart's just explaining his herding abilities. Okay, so let's restart. And this is the item on the agenda about the review and update of the work plan. So what we are trying to do here really is raise council members' awareness of the overall picture and get a feel for the current load and community capacity, which particularly is why we also invited the working group chairs to join for this discussion. So what we're trying to do here is consider whether all of the activities are relevant, whether we've missed any, whether any should change, to make sure that we've captured everything adequately, and to talk about, if we can, what the priorities are, if any, because my sense with the Secretariat is that we're kind of starting to creep a bit. We're starting to reach capacity, which means you can't just keep adding new items. You either need to stop adding or stop doing something in order to be have any hope of getting work done. So let me hand over to Bart. Bart has been an absolute skill, an absolute triumph of mind mapping. You should have copies that he has distributed, Gabby distributed earlier, of the latest version of the mind map. I'm a great fan of mind maps, but I have to say this one's getting rather complicated. But maybe that's an observation on how complicated our work plan is getting.
Let me just explain what I've done. If you see the mind map in front of you, say the first branches, so this one, for instance, is called policy related. It captures all the activities of the CCNSO which are policy related. So one is, for instance, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. It is the CCPDP on retirement. We know it's not running, but say in the near future, so as soon as the Framework of Interpretation has done its job, and maybe one of, say, half a year later, we will need to start with the CCPDP on retirement. A fourth or a third policy-related working group is the study group on the use of country names as DLDs. And finally, which is clearly a policy-related activity, is the IDN-CCPDP. Now, what's not on your sheet, but what I've done, and I will use the Framework of Interpretation Working Group as an example, is the Framework of Interpretation Working Group has, in fact, five or six major topics. One is the final report of consent, and there is a date and a schedule towards it, and there are people involved in that one. It is the, say, the project on the significantly interested parties. It is revocation. It's the IANA reporting and terminology product. And finally, there is a final report of the working group itself. And again, I've attached dates to it and, again, some resources to... I will not go through all of them, but maybe for the working group chairs as well. Let me give you some further details, for instance, on revocation, because that's what the working group is discussing right now. Say, we're currently in the phase of discussion. Then there is the interim report of revocation that needs to be published or is scheduled to be published before the Prague meeting. And after the Prague meeting, we have a final report on the revocation. And again, that involves people of the working group, the chairs, etc. So I will jump down. So that's, as an example, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. So, and I've done that with most of the working groups I'm involved with. Maybe another good example in the policy-related area is the IDN-PDP. Again, it looks more complicated than it is. So we have two sets of working groups there. One is on the overall policy for the selection, and the other one is on inclusion. Then afterwards, there needs to be a final report, and then a members' vote, and then a final report of the PDP that will be submitted to the board. And again, that's been used to schedule all the activities. So, so that is the policy-related branch of, say, what you have in front of you. Then we have ICANN planning that's recurring, that includes the STRAT plan and the OPS plan. I'll decrease it quickly as possible. Again, this is recurring, and this SOP working group is intimately involved. They know the schedule, and during a month or during 4 or 5 weeks for every report that comes out of ICANN, they're involved, and it's hard work. So maybe because we got the chair of the study group here as well, let me go through the study group, what I'm checking, and maybe just so you can confirm, I've got the typology on which it is currently working. The intention is that that will be closed at this meeting. Then we go into, the working group goes into issues identification. We'll report on that one by the Prague meeting initially, and then when we have the feedback from the UNESCO survey and issues between Prague and the Toronto meeting, it starts working on its final report. Paul, you have any additions?
So let's take these as we go round, Paul.
Sorry, Leslie, did you want me to expand upon that any further? Or?
Well, is that indeed the current state of affairs, and have we captured it correctly?
Yes, that's right. The ultimate goal is to deliver a final report to Council by the end of 2012. So we're working towards final consultations and final report development at Toronto. So again, we're working backwards from our deadline, which means a little bit of consultation here at this meeting, most notably with the GAC, and then moving on to the development of draft issues papers, or at least one round of a progress report that will go to the community. So it's not for consultation, but I'm conscious that this group causes a lot of misunderstanding amongst the community. There is a wide perception that it's a land grab by CCs for different representations of country and territory names, and I spend the vast majority of even the study group sessions explaining that to members. So I'm cautious that we need to at least put something out for the community to be briefed about, probably between this meeting and Prague, and then more detailed findings and more detailed reporting at Prague. The main issue Bart raised was the typology or the survey that UNESCO is assisting us with. That is both a benefit and a difficult exercise in itself because of the perception that UNESCO is being involved, intergovernmental organisation. Member states are being surveyed, but not others. So we're trying to expand that as much as possible. And as Bart said, get that locked away and get UNESCO doing their work. It's a preliminary survey of 20 to 25 member states. And I would really love if that feedback can come back in good time, if we could possibly broaden that out to all member states. Not for compulsory feedback, but make it available to all of them. So we've got to test the process first. So there's a stage one and a stage 1A, if we can get to that and if time allows. Because the beauty of being a study group is we can be as expansive as possible in our study. That's our responsibility. But by the same token, allaying everyone's fears about the fact that it is a land grab, which it isn't. But broadly speaking, Bart summarised the timeframes correctly.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Okay, I'll continue now with the second one, which I called here, and in your sheet is called ICANN planning, which is recurring. That is the ICANN strat plan and ICANN ops plan and budget. The timeframes for that work are set, I will not go into that detail, especially because Rulof is not here. Then a third category of activities is CCNSO improvements. This is, say, the result from the CCNSO review. We still have some topics open. One is, reaching out to government-run CCTLDs, which is on the agenda now. And there is a session planned for the Prague meeting to inform them. The second bit that, we still need to put on the agenda is the discussion on translation of CCNSO documents. It was one of the recommendations of the external reviewers. The board committee said it's up to the CCNSO to decide whether they want to do it and how, and if they want to do it, how they want to do it. So that discussion needs to get started. And then there is what we've already initiated on the collaboration tool, so that's the wiki space. It is now, it's been launched, and as we discussed, there is a review scheduled for the Prague meeting, so that's part of the working plan itself. So that's CCNSO improvements. The next one is community-related activities. That's the way I've called it, if you have a different name. So that's the first one is the finance working group. I'll open that one up so everybody is aware. So what I've included is the survey, the current survey. It is not closed yet. It will be discussed at this meeting. I don't know if it will run through. I haven't included any dates there. The second one is the discussion of the working group and the community on the funding models. And the third element is the cost allocations, discussions with ICANN staff and EAG.
And in fact, it should be concluded with a recommendation of the working group to the community and to ICANN on funding. Byron, did I capture it, what the finance working group's major goals or milestones are? Okay.
Do we have a current feel for timeline? Haha.
I think that will probably be one of the topics of discussion in this afternoon's meeting, because we continue to progress with the work of the finance working group, but we're also dependent on receiving information from ICANN, which is yet to be forthcoming.
So, I mean, if that continues to be the case, we may need to suspend the work of that group. And
well, the original work plan showed us coming to conclusion at the October meeting. And I would say we're rapidly getting to the point where we will not meet that goal as a result of not receiving financial information from ICANN.
Okay. So without wishing to start the week controversially, maybe we're going to need to note that somewhere during this week, as that being the effect, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, a second activity that I've included here is the incident response implementation working group, that's with Louise. I haven't included a schedule. Do you want to speak on it, whether the working group has a schedule and when it will come up with the schedule, or will we discuss it during this week?
I have many noise here. do you want me to talk about the schedule?
Well, or the main activities of the working group, because then I can include it over time. But we can do it after this meeting as well. That's so, because I know the working group will meet on Thursday.
Okay. The main proposal of this working group is create a contact repository for emergencies. How deep this contact repository should be is an issue we need to define. Then we are working on defining the big picture of this this design of this contact repository. And because of the meeting, I have a little delay on this working group, but after the meeting we'll be working a little bit more on this working group. And we were expecting to finish at this meeting, but it's not possible. Then I expect to have more input from experts in this kind of issues. And I'm constantly asking some people from CERT, people from other CERT that administrate this contact repository to have a good idea how to implement this contact repository.
So, Louis, thank you for that. What is the current end date roughly then? In your mind?
Sorry, it's too noisy.
I know.
What is the current?
What is the current end of that work, do you think, just so we can plan overall?
Yes, I expect to have it for the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
I'll include that, at the end of this meeting, because I need to update it anyway. The third community-related activities, I've included Tech Day. Again, it's meetings, the Tech Day meetings, organizing the Tech Day meetings, setting the agenda and the logistics as one major cluster of activities. And the second one, according to the charter, is the handbook. And I'll say the meetings is pretty straightforward, because it happens for every three ICANN meetings, so I've included that already in the overall schedule. But maybe, Eberhard, you want to say something about the handbook, or do I need to add other tasks?
The logistics is an issue, because for this meeting we have started to liaise a little bit better, as Council has suggested, with the general theme. I don't really want to go to preempt the consensus building that we are still having on the group, but it's an issue of
normally we work with ad hoc speakers, the ones that come anyway here, then we can ask them to present. This time it was a bit of a problem getting an external speaker that we want to talk in here because of flight and logistics. We have found a few sponsors, Luis was one of them, and we will come up with a proper briefing paper to your to the next meeting in Prague. We are looking in particularly a little bit at following the what we call the nominate proposal that Simon McCullough made in Singapore, that we should, the issues that small or medium CCTLDs are technically having, it's the same that GTLDs, new GTLDs in particular, and even more so emerging deserving GTLDs. And so there is a case to be made that we might look at whether we cannot sort of cross constituencies. So I don't want to build an empire or anything. This is something that it is very dear to my heart. We must look at that, and I'm still building consensus, but we should have something. From that follows, the handbook will be sort of a little bit, it's still on the plan. If we decide we go further, we have to expand that road, but it'll come. Cheryl has approached or has suggested me in as far as the academy is concerned, so I think she should maybe follow up on that.
Thank you, Everhart. And I think it's really important that if something like the ICANN Academy is ever going to work, it has to be a genuinely cross-constituency ICANN-wide issue, because just funding and intelligent planning demands that. Building a curricula that meets wide community need is something that would be fundamental to such a proposal. We certainly think that part of it is just training of the leadership, which is what the pilot program is all about. But it can no way stop there. It has to involve the technical community, the CC community, and the new G community as well. To that end, I would very much value, and Everhart has been kind enough to suggest he would be happy to help build curricula for the technical community requirements should the CCTLD community want him to be more engaged on your behalf with the ICANN Academy. At this stage, the ICANN Academy is purely up for discussion. It has had reasonable support, warm, fuzzy noises by some parts of the community. The only negative I'm hearing is specifically from the business constituency within the GNSO, and the basis for that, I'll hasten to add, is their desire to have it not just leader-based, but more wide open. But leader-based would need to be the program for piloting, because it's a silly strategy to do it the other way. So that's it from me.
Thank you, Cheryl. I mean, there's a danger we could distract the work plan by going off on the academy, interesting as though that is. And I think that is an issue that at some stage this week we'll need to pick up. And if there is indeed to be CCNSO involvement in that, then that would also need to come in on the work plan as well. Okay, but thank you. Thank you both.
The second thing is that from the tech working group was, I know, say, one or two meetings I've attended, say, some time ago, there was still talk about the handbook for CCs. To what extent is that still relevant? Because if that's the case, then I want to include it, and if not, then I can strike it.
No. I think this is an important part, but usually when you start sitting down, then something new comes up. Some new development comes up that changes everything. Then I must also confess that though I have no objections to people joining my group, the workload is carried by very few people so far. I'm not trying to make excuses or anything, but we are all busy people, and so you tend to deal with the priorities. But it will be done within the group. There is no logistics involved as far as this is concerned. That will not have at no cost implications as far as the council is concerned. The only cost implication as far as council is concerned is that we may have to look at some formalizing to be able to invite speakers. This time we had a bit of a problem, and we must. I would like to raise this in that sense. But as far as cost or planning is concerned, I don't see any issues here.
So what, Abab, what I'll do is I'll keep it in, and as soon as there is more clarity, then we can start edging scheduling. But so this way we capture the activity of the working group. Okay, so that was the community-related activities. I'll close this one off as well. The next... Sorry, Pika.
Sorry, but on community-related activities, I was looking here for the program working group, and I'm not sure if it's a community-related activity or is it under coordination or something.
Back on coordination. So the program working group is included. Just specifically, that's why maybe as a descriptor, these are the activities of working groups specifically for the individual CCTLDs. So nothing to do with the CCNSO own meetings themselves. Say like the incident response repository is clearly something to assist CCTLDs. Tech Day is clearly there to build capacity for CCTLDs. That is the capture or the thinking behind this set. The next set is responses and statements. We briefly discussed it in the previous session. What I see right now of say the work that is coming ahead or will be heading towards the CCNSO is first of all the who is review, and the question is whether the CCNSO want to respond on it. So, and that's both on the input of the final draft of the review, and secondly, there will be again an implementation plan probably on implementing the recommendations, and then the question is whether the CCNSO wants to respond on that one. So that's included in this one. It's the same will be with the SSR review. We've heard that the SSR review team will try to finalize its report during this meeting, and again that's the question is whether the CCNSO should respond, and again on the implementation. A third one is the who is roadmap. As you may have seen on the schedule for the CCNSO meeting, there will be a session on it, and again the question is whether the CCNSO needs to respond, because as I will show later, in the who is roadmap there are activities mentioned for the CCTLD community. They need to be engaged. So this is about the planning, and that's the next one.
So we've already determined how we're going to do that, and the what we're going to respond to is an ever-growing stroke moving list, in effect.
Yeah. And then the fourth one is, again, that's open for comments, and we haven't discussed it, is the IDN Verin project plan. Again, this includes... elements that will impact IDN CCTLD, so that's something to discuss as well. So that's the response and statement, and probably as a result of the discussion we had this morning, this list will probably grow. Then board requests, goes into response and statements. Maybe there will, so I haven't listed anything, but I've just mentioned it. And then CCTLD-related ICAM projects, that's in fact the next stage of these, planning documents. To date, what I've seen is IDN variant projects, and that includes an update the enhanced visual similarity process that is still an issue, both for CCTLDs or IDN CCTLDs, and for the new GTLD process, especially if you start looking at IDN variants as well. Then implement the visual similarity process. Again, this will impact with IDN CCTLDs. And then label generation rule set, whatever it means, but it is important for IDN CCTLDs and variants of existing IDN CCTLD labels. And finally, the update of IDN CCTLD processes, either the fast track or the overall policy, that will impact the CCNSO at some stage as well. So that's included in these type of projects. I've included
Let me just pause there before people overdose on information. All with us so far, understand what we're doing, trying to, you know, get an overall feel for what we have to deal with. Yeah. Okay. Any questions for Bart so far? You're okay. Don't want anyone nodding off. No. Okay. Good. Sorry, Bart.
Okay. The next one is the WHOIS protocol introduction. This is, again, the WHOIS roadmap, and this will involve, I'll open this one as well, participate in WHOIS replacement development at the ITF. CCTLDs will be invited to participate. That is one of the recommendations in the roadmap. And the replacement of the WHOIS protocol, and again, that will involve CCTLD managers and probably the CCNSO as well. So that's listed here as well. And then the final one is the universal acceptance issues, which is a very broad issue for IDN CCTLDs and new GTLDs, and that will at some stage come into fruition and will affect us. Okay, then the next category is the SO and AC activities. To date, I'm only aware of GNSO-related activities where the CCNSO has been invited to participate in some of the working groups, so I will not go into details. Then we have the joint activities. That means working groups set up with other SOs and ACs. That's the DSSA, so the DNS Stability and Security Analysis Working Group, which is very intense. We have the JIG, and again, the JIG has a couple of elements there. I'll show them. So that's the single character IDNs, the follow-up on the letter from the council. Universal acceptance is one of their topics, and IDN variants is also one of their topics. Close this one. And finally, on the joint activities, it's the Geographic Regions Board Working Group. The CCNSO is participating, and Dave Archbold is the chair of it. Now, again, we go into more the, say, CCNSO Council-related activities and the CCNSO. Say that's administrative. Again, recurring activities like council elections and board elections, council meetings, CCNSO meetings, and again, this is for the program working group. This is where their activities are. Members applications and CCNSO guidelines adjustments. The example we have currently is the rules and guidelines of the CCNSO need to be updated because of the inclusion of the envisioned inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. So that's more internally administrative. And finally, we have the coordination activities. That's the GAC CCNSO liaison, CCNSO GNSO liaison, SOAC coordination, roles and responsibilities, and finally, the work plan itself. So that is more or less, I think, at a reasonable detailed level, the CCNSO work program. And what I've done as well, but now I'll pause, I've used this mind map to start loading it in a project tool and with the scheduling as well. So I'll switch and let you take a deep breath.
Okay, thank you, Bart. And I know a great deal of work has gone into this, so thank you and well done. So the purpose of this discussion originally was to try to get a feel for our overall kind of list. So is there anything we've missed from that list? Is there anything we could delete from that list, which would be good? And also then to try to get a better feel around capacity. So some of the working group chairs particularly are saying, you know, we're really busy. We, in some cases, have fewer and fewer volunteers, which means the people who are left are doing a lot of the work. So I'd be interested in colleagues' comments around, you know, is this everything? Have we missed something? Are we at full capacity or have we got lots of spare time? Can we get a kind of sense as to where we are? But we should show his project plan, which demonstrates we're all very busy.
It's one of the reasons we're showing it is they've included the schedule, and that's not relevant. What I've also done, included the activities of the chairs and, say, of working group members, and made some assumptions on how much time they spend on, say, CCMSO-related activities. And if I show that one and it lists most members, the red flag is showing that people are overwhelmed with work. So that was just to illustrate it. So what I've done, I've said for working group members, it's down there, working group members spend about 2 hours a week, 2.5 hours a week on CCMSO-related activities. I have, say, for the chairperson, I'd set half a day a week on CCMSO-related activities. I don't know, it's just one of the assumptions. Working group chairs, in their role as chair, around, I would say, 4 hours a week. And this is the result if you start loading this into in one of these tools.
Okay, thank you. So this is where you immediately look to find your name and see what color flag you have against you, of course. I'm so pleased I have a red flag. I'm worried I might have some more work.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we need some flag badges at some stage. Okay, so going back to the original question, have we captured everything? Are we all feeling red flag moments? Or actually, you know, have we got spare capacity? What are people's thoughts? Okay.
I think it looks to me, from what I know recently of the activities of CCNS, so this captures it quite nice. The main challenge will be to distribute the work a little bit more. Because the worrying thing is, if you look at the working groups and who does what, there were the earlier documents we showed, certain things circulate around the certain personalities. And I think in the spirit of the ICANN participation framework, we should find ways, particularly maybe other councillors, to get on board and identify processes where they can be involved. Otherwise, the circulation really around the same names is unfair to some or to all those names, because we come here representing regions, and I'm sure the regions would like us to see participate more actively, not to say what a particular region thinks, but to work as a collective, but representing a region.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I think that's going to be key to us succeeding at what we're trying to do. It's quite difficult for people to take on big jobs, but sometimes easier for 4 or 5 people to take on smaller jobs and share those out. Okay. This tent is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does everyone else think? What about people who have red flags or green flags? Do we have lots of spare capacity? Is there lots more we could be doing? Dotty? You need to be very close to the mic as well. Sorry, the acoustics are wonderful.
Well, the question I'd like to ask is, how burdened is the secretariat? Because they are performing a lot more activities and support actions than in the old days of a secretariat. And it really, what Gabby does makes the job that I have to do on a working group almost nothing. I have to think four times a year.
Okay. Very good question. So we're particularly thinking about councillor capacity, but there's secretariat capacity. About Gabby and Christina, of course. What's the feel for that?
I think at this stage, but this is my personal view, so I can't speak on behalf of Gabby and Christina. What I see is my capacity is almost at its limit, but what you see is the capacity, so that's one of the reasons why Bernie is involved with the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. So it's just more than the three of us. I think the real issue right now is not so much our capacity, because if that's the breaking point, we can always find other ways, like for instance Bernie, and when Christina came on board. I think the real challenge is to find volunteers in order to deal with, say, the upcoming workload, because, say, as I just shown, and it will increase over the next year, especially if we start monitoring. Say, until now we've been ducking some of the work, but that will become more difficult.
Okay, but so while I get Gabby and Christina to collect their thoughts, I'd just like to push back against the it will increase. It can only increase if we say, yes, okay, we can do that. You know, there comes a point in just operational terms that you might need to say, very interesting, but we can't do that, or in order to do this, we need to drop something. Eberhard.
No, I wanted to reinforce what Bart is saying. It's an observation that you not only see in my working groups, you see it in all working groups, you see it in the council. The work is done always by the same people. And I'm not complaining in any way, but we must really, I'm not saying we must not do any more work, but many of us have a day job, and as you know, I even have a night job. Yeah. But one should not say we cannot take more work on. I'm perfectly happy with Bernie's amazing work he's doing. It's not necessarily that there is not enough capacity, but he is an asset to this. And I think we should just try to get more people interested in the work and start building, not from the top down, but from the bottom up.
Absolutely. I know that view is shared by many in this room. I guess from a sheer operational constraints model, you either say, yes, we can do the work, but we need to find more capacity, or people need to work harder, or no, we can't do the work, or we need to find a different way of doing this. In order for it to be possible. What I'm just saying is there shouldn't necessarily be a yes, we can do everything response. There are other options.
Maybe I should rephrase it. What I really meant is that the demands on the CCNSO will increase. Whether the CCNSO takes it on board is a whole different question.
Yeah.
But it should be, in my view, it should be a real choice.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, can I just move to Gabby and Christina, your thoughts on secretariat load, you know, your personal capacity, are we overloading you?
I think that right now we're just fine, we're just around right, but Mrs. Christina got ill on Thursday and it wasn't clear whether she could come, and I was very worried because I think that we're just fine now, but as soon as one of us drops off, it will be really, really bad. So I'm happy she came yesterday, but so you make me worried that we're going to get more work.
Christina, I'm glad to hear you recovered to come to the meeting.
Thank you. I might be just a little bit more confused than normal, but otherwise I'm fine. And I agree with Gabby. It's I think we're doing quite all right.
All right. Thank you. So we seem to be saying we think we've captured where we are. I don't hear people suggesting anything else to add to that at the moment. Scotty?
Personal, personally, I think that people like to give the CCNSO jobs to do because they do them better than anyone else. And the more excellence they demonstrate, the more requests they're going to get.
So that's the other option, of course, become totally inefficient and not get anything to do.
No, we want to. We don't want to become Alex.
Oh, dear.
So if let's not start with Alex, but I think we've captured the work. There's probably a consequential issue, which is probably a little bit of a change in attitude. In how we approach the work, because when Bart says let us expect the work to increase, that makes a lot of sense. If you see all the happening, just the new cheese alone could mean more work. And all the rumblings that you hear about where the internet should be housed, you know, will eventually trickle down to the CCNSO. I think probably what is needed, not now, I'm just thinking out loud, is when councillors come into, when people join the CCNSO, is to try and set for ourselves some form of a loose performance framework, a councillor performance framework, which effectively just says the councillor per year must have participated in some process or activity, mm-hmm. you know. I know it may be radical, but let's think about it. We could consider it going forward as one way of encouraging distributed participation by the council.
Okay. Anyone thoughts? Byron?
Well, maybe just picking up a bit on Vika's thoughts. There's a difference between passive participation and active participation, and members of the CCNSO have a choice. They can be one or the other, and I think we recognize that there are only a relatively small subset who are involved actively participating. And I think the real rub for us is how do we transition the folks and this growing body from being passive participants who are observing and receiving to actively participating, contributing? And what can we do? Is it a framework like Vika just suggested? Is it at the outset when we welcome people in, it's a welcoming them in, but also setting the expectation. Because as they come through the door, if the expectation is set, clearly that this is a participatory body, then hopefully right away we can start to reframe people's thoughts about what is expected when you're a member here. Because, again, as Eberhard was saying, it should come from the bottom up. But are we setting the stage properly and delivering the message clearly of what the expectations are when people come in the door?
Okay. So I'd like to pull together that thought, Eberhard's comment, Vika's comment, and as chair kind of say, I think we have been quite good at gaining new members, and certainly in terms of people who come to meetings, that's been good, that's been evolving. But what we've not been very good at is engaging with those people and, you know, building on why they're at the CCNSO in the first place to learn, to get involved, and saying, this is how you can be involved, this is how you can engage in this work. And that goes to your point around capacity and if we can break up some of the jobs into smaller tasks that people are able to take on. Because sometimes it feels to be involved and participate as a counsellor or whatever, you need to take on a massive job, which for somebody coming quite new can often be quite daunting. Eberhard?
I just have to differ slightly because the CCNSO has been very good at engaging non-CCNSO members in doing the work. Sure. And that should be put as a former non-member. I was engaged for many, many years when we were not members, and that must be, I think this is
that's
the only constituency where this is actually actively done, and it is, we must continue to do so. Never mind that people will then see the light.
Yeah. Okay. So if we take engagement as a broader term, whether that be as a CCNSO member or as a CCTLD that comes to our meetings, maybe we could do some thinking around how we might get people more engaged. Becky?
I just don't want to pass by your comment about breaking things down into smaller tasks. I only know a very little bit about organizational psychology, but I think it's pretty clear from all of the studies that people get more engaged and more committed once they start doing something. And so the best way is actually to have some participation, and that is, based on everything I've read, really what builds participation in organizations.
What I'd like to do to move this discussion on is that if there are people in this room who are particularly would relish some thinking and some conversations around this topic, to get a small group to do some thinking and maybe come back to the council with that thinking. So this isn't a huge working group, just say kind of, I'm interested in this, I've got some thoughts, I've got some views, get together, do some brainstorming or whatever, and come back with some things that the council could grab. Would that be a way forward? Would that work? Yeah? Okay.
I certainly think that makes sense. Absolutely. Excellent.
So maybe as vice chair, you'd like to participate? And
I knew I should have kept the mic off. You think I'd have learned from what's happened already here?
Seriously, I mean, just say, I'm not going to say a session in the bar or whatever, but just some people who have an interest in this, a birds of a feather, boss type thing, let's do some thinking and come back with some ideas, yeah? Excellent. Thank you. Go on.
Maybe it's an idea to invite some people from the CCNSO meeting on Tuesday as well, so that during this meeting, because that works most of the time most effectively, a small group meets. And so no formal structure, but just under the leadership of one or two councillors.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, although I've kind of delegated it, I'm of course happy to be involved. Okay.
Let me one more comment. And Byron, I'd like to be involved in this group that you're going to be.
Excellent.
So anybody who is interested, feel free to email me and just let me know.
Thank you.
Eberhard, we'll set an appropriate bar meeting.
You have another comment?
No, I have volunteered one of my colleagues for the GTLD appraisal group.
Oh.
He happens to be the dean of the faculty of sustainable development on the local university, and I have volunteered him to apply for that group.
Excellent. Okay, I'm conscious of time. We need to move on. Are we done on that one? Okay. So the final item for this section of our meeting was the issue on chair and vice chair election. Those of you that were on the last council call will recall a question around whether the terms of chairs and vice chairs should remain at a year duration. And we tasked Bart with doing some research into that question, whether it's covered from the bylaws or whether there are other issues the council should be aware of. Bart, I know you've circulated an email to the list, but I'm not sure everybody would have seen that yet. Could you give the abridged version?
A very abridged version. There is no real definition in the bylaws itself. The only thing it says, the CCNSO Council will select a chair and vice chairs as it sees fit, for the terms it sees fit. So that's the starter. So there's nothing there in the bylaws. Say, for historical reasons, we did it for 1 year, and I've been looking into, say, trying to think of reasons to change it. There are two arguments that the council needs to take into consideration. The first one is, if you have longer term
chairs and vice chairs that may interfere with the term that a councillor is elected as a councillor. So you've got two rotating plates which sometimes do match and sometimes do not match. So that's you may end up in a situation that somebody is elected for a chair for 2 years but not re-elected from the region. So that will cause a bit of a mess. A second reason, which is probably far more important, is as all of you are volunteers, real volunteers, and you work for other organizations, committing to something like a chair role or vice chair role for more than 1 year may have a huge impact on your own organization. And I doubt whether, say, those who command you will appreciate it if you say, oh, I will be chair for the CCNZO for 3 years, given the increasing workload. So these are the two arguments, I would say, which are in the document, and my advice would be, based on this one, leave it as it is.
Okay. Thank you for that research, Val. Any comments or questions from anybody? As if by magic, we have a chair appeared. I'm waiting for my chair to appear behind me.
This wasn't scripted. It just happened this way. But I'd probably have to agree with those comments that it might be hard to explain to my chair a three-year commitment in a volunteer role. So I do actually, in spite of having my chair sitting beside me, agree with that.
His ears must have been burning. Keith?
Can I just say it just gets too hard to think about anything over a one-year term. I think it's the lowest common denominator and should remain that way.
Okay, thank you. Byron?
I think the one-year term is appropriate for reasons articulated. I think that it probably makes sense to have a conversation or an understanding that all things remaining equal, there's a certain expectation or at the very least a hope that it would be more than 1 year,
but
it's not an ironclad guarantee that it has to be renewed yearly.
Yeah. In my experience, it takes a while before you kind of feel you might know what you're doing. So if you changed every year, then that maybe would be quite difficult. Though there's people far more intelligent than me, maybe they pick it up more quickly. But there is something very much about saying to your organization that you're standing for this role and getting your organization's backing. Now, if you're self-employed, that's easier to back yourself. But I know for my own part, I had to justify the level to my board. And as part of that, there was this is for a year, and we'll look at it again when we see how it works next year. So, yeah. I'm not sure if they'd have given me a three-year bank check.
This is a non sequitur, but I did want to tell Bart about his R&R designation. Was that for roles and responsibilities? Well, in the United States, R&R has very definite meaning, and it's related to the military, because whenever they go on leave, it's called going on R&R. And that stands for rest and recuperation. And if you say R&R in the U.S., it usually refers to some picadillo or event that was a good story while people were on leave in the Army or the other military. So I just thought I'd let you know what that means in the U.S. country sense.
So you don't want to share this with the U.S. board.
Okay. I think that just about concludes our conversation. Thank you, Dottie, for that. We need to be careful of acronym meaning, obviously. Speaker?
Sorry, not about the acronyms. Just to say, if I remember well, I'm the one who raised the issue of the tenure of chairs and vice chairs. To say, but I think the reasons were convincing, fully understood. And I'll accept that we keep that framework as it is.
Someone already responded by email
and she agreed with the argument and the advice to keep it as it is.
Okay.
I will share that email with the council. Probably, I think she shared it already with the council. But.
Okay. So thank you, everybody, and I'm very much aware that those of us on the SOP working group have a session following on, but thank you very much for your attention and comments this morning.